Dicker is on the line. He's been right in the middle of these horrendous fires on the island of Maui in Hawaii. He's lost a lot. Hello, Alan. How are you?
Well, I'm safe. And that's all I have.
What have you lost?
And that's true for a lot of people.
Have you lost everything?
I've lost everything. I have three houses right in the middle of Lahaina town. I had a thriving business. I was a fixture on the center of Front Street, which is the main commercial district, for 23 years. I had a warehouse with my inventory, and every tangible object that I do not currently have on me no longer exists. And I'm not alone in that. And I, the crazy thing is I'll be okay. It's going to be hard, but there's a lot of people where it's going to be even harder. Other places in the world have had terrible fires. So people can fathom what that's like, but the world is changing. This fire really shouldn't have been possible, but it happened. And there was no warning, none at all. And there was no preparation. And it was fast and brutal and complete. And it was a lot of things added up to the catastrophe that occurred that people have to start thinking about. Because, for instance, this is an island. We have a fire department, and we deal with brush fires. And they're good at that. But they were dealing with a major wildfire on the other side of the island. So most of the fire crews had gone from the Lahaina side to help out up in Kula, which is up on Haleakala, which is a big volcano.
Yeah.
And then the fires started in Lahaina, and they didn't start as brush fires so much as they started right in the residential areas. So instantly people were in danger, and there weren't enough resources to deal with it, and then it exploded from there. But they couldn't bring back the crews that were on the other side of the island fast enough, because they were in a perilous moment there, and they couldn't leave. And so then when they finally were able to get some crews back, but by that point, the town, like lots of neighborhoods, were on fire, and everything was starting to burn out of control. And the problem was there were this crazy windstorm that we had no warning about, with 50-mile-an-hour gust just constantly, had been going on since the night before. And where the fires were coming from was mostly power lines, because all these trees were coming down, taking down power lines, sparking fires. And so it was all over the place. And then they didn't have the resources. And then they're one of the only backup things they have is helicopters. But it was way too windy for the helicopters. They couldn't get close. The resources had been split on the island, and the island's a sizable island, so you can't just quickly go back and forth. And they couldn't use their biggest backup, which is helicopter drops, which they finally started using yesterday when the winds died down. But the fires just burned out of control, and the windstorm had already started ripping roofs off of buildings, which never happens here. Oof. So that's how bad the windstorm had been. And then the fires just went crazy quickly. And, I'm sure people have seen some of the videos. I posted a video when I went, I had evacuated my house and went to see if I could get into my gallery, because I wanted to go to the roof of that building. It was the biggest building on Front Street, so I could see where the fires were. if any of, you know, which of my houses were on fire at that point, and what the best escape route was going to be, because there's very few routes, and they were all backed up. And I couldn't get to my building because the entire street was already on fire. And that street is the main commercial district for Maui. And it never occurred to me. Nobody thought Front Street would burn. Because it's what, like, if nothing else happened this week, but just the Front Street district burned, just two blocks of Front Street. If only that had happened, it would devastate Maui's economy for at least a decade. And it would have been completely devastating to the economy.
Alan,
and that's if none of the residential buildings burned.
Yeah. Alan, we had 14 years ago, we had 173 people die in fires over a short period of time. We understand it, we relate to it, we look at you, and it brings back awful memories. But you said something interesting. You said, this is the future. This is what we've got to plan for. Maybe it's too early, but what do we learn? What do we learn about what's happened there?
The one thing, this fire, if I'm a practical person. I don't panic. I'm not a fan of panic. Most times when there's a disaster happening and everyone's getting upset, I calm people down and point out it's not going to be that bad. The reality is this, right? So just understand that's my perspective in general.
Yes.
If someone had proposed a fire like this that we needed to be prepared for, I would have said a week ago, okay, that's ridiculous. At that point, you're just wasting resources because that's not even possible. It's not that it's remote. It's just not possible.
Yes.
But it turned out it's possible, which means that people have to start thinking about how bad it gets when you have, even if you think you can cover it. We had really bad fires 5 years ago in Lahaina. It was the worst fires Lahaina had ever had. The entire area burned down, but it was brush fires, and the fire department did a very good job of protecting people and buildings. It shocked people, but there were a couple dozen buildings that burned, but that was sort of the worst case scenario possible.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why this one, and we just went through that 5 years ago, and this time it's not a couple buildings. It's thousands, and it's basically the whole town is incinerated. And again, nobody was ready for anything on this. That's the crazy part, because here on Maui, they like to panic just because bad things don't really happen here. So they pre-panic, and they panic over nothing, and they evacuate for stupid reasons when there's no danger at all, and that always drives me crazy, because usually it's the nonsense evacuations that cause the harm. And but in this case, there was no warning at all.
So the message there is to think.
So one of the things.
The message is to think about it and plan about it. Probably all around the world now, isn't it? The way this is unfolding.
Yeah, it's also worse because of where it happened, because we're so isolated.
Yeah.
That not only was the catastrophe itself not something that you could have expected, but any place else where you're connected to the rest of the world. So, for instance, in California, when there are terrible wildfires and they scorch whole towns, it's terrible and it's tragic, but they bring in firefighters from other towns. And when that's not enough, they bring them in from other parts of the state. And if that's not enough, they drive them in from Nevada and from Oregon. And if that's not enough, they'll come from half a country away, and they'll come with trucks and equipment and men, right?
Well, yeah, but in this country at the moment, we're offering to send exactly that. We have some expertise in firefighting. We're offering people to go there now. They're willing to get on the planes today. Do you need them?
They need them, but the problem is they also need equipment. But trust me, the fire department here, when I don't know if you've seen the video that I took back on the day of the fire when I was right before I evacuated, but it shows the structures on the main street and Front Street exploding in flame. And the thing that had shocked me in the moment was that there were no fire trucks.
Yeah.
And the last place on Maui that the fire department would let burn was Front Street. And I realized that if there were no fire trucks and Front Street was fully engulfed in flames, they were so overwhelmed that they couldn't get there. That meant that this was a true catastrophic event. And the problem is the firefighters have been still battling. The fires are still going. And the winds, today there was some rain. I'm in the rainforest now because I had to evacuate. So when I finally got out of Lahaina, I grabbed other people on the way to get them out, dropped them off in the center of Maui with some people that they were going to stay with. And then I headed to another part of Maui where somebody said I could stay for a few days. Yeah. That would be nice and comfortable, and I could sort of gather my thoughts and whatnot. As soon as I got there, literally as I drove up, I got the alert that whole area had to evacuate immediately. And then I saw an officer driving, and this is at almost midnight, blaring, "Get out now." And so then I decided, I have some other friends that are on the other side of Maui in a rainforest. I'm going there because I don't think I'm going to have to evacuate from a rainforest. So I've been in the rainforest ever since.
Well, I tell you what I'd like to do, if you hang on for a moment, please, I'll get Michael Hilder, who's talking to you earlier, to have a chat to you off air. I would like to keep in touch. I would like to see what we can do from this country. Our Prime Minister has offered to send help. Our Premier is offering to send help. We'll do whatever we can. Just hold on for a moment, if you don't mind. Alan Dicker, he's got the vintage European posters gallery in Lahaina. Evacuated several times. Lost everything. Three houses. Lost everything. Lucky to escape. Pay attention. Get ready. Think about it. I mean, that's... And we have here bushfire experts, academics, saying this is likely to happen in Victoria, in Australia this summer. The conditions are right.
Ready to downsize in Melbourne's southeast? Experience the